And today we have Brother Dan DeLong with us today, and he's going to be speaking tonight in the service. And but he is the international representative for BIMI, the Baptist International Missions, and we've been, the church here has been supporting them for a long, long time. And Brother DeLong is from our area down south. He was at Gospelite Baptist Church for a long time as the school principal there, and he served there. You know, our school and their school sometimes were competitors and things, but we loved each other anyway, amen. But I thank the Lord for him getting to be here, and he's going to be speaking for us today. I want you to listen up to what he's going to tell you. Thank you for being here on this ninth day of March, 2025. Brother DeLong, you come on up. And it's all yours.
Amen. 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 Can you hear me now? Well, Pastor Norris and I went to college together. We come over on the ark together. He's a West Virginia boy, and I was across on the other side of the river. But we went way back. And so he's known me. My home church is Gospelite Baptist Church. And this is a good class because the biggest donuts I've ever seen in my life. Man. And just swell up looking at those things. I'm like the lightning bug that flew into the fan backwards. I'm delighted to be here. And this is one of my, I haven't been here for about 12 years. And so where's the brother that leads the class? You know, he's right there, and he's going to let me. My testimony is in my sermon this morning, or my lesson. But now I want you all to go to Romans chapter 10. Now, you got to come tonight. Yes. If you don't, may the fleas of 1,000 camels invade your armpits forever. Because we've got a video showing your ministry that you've helped us with in Papua New Guinea since we went over there. All right? Well, we had 3 churches. Now we have 6. Yesterday, in those 6 churches, we had 4,728 folks come to those services. And in those 6 churches, we had 14 people baptized. Out of those 6 churches, 32 other Bush churches have been started in the last 15 years. And so we started there. So me, Adam, talk, pigeon, lick, lick, ye hire, name belong me, Dan DeLong, you, me, boom, one time, long, church belong you now. You, me, kiss him, kai, kai, long, coffee, belong you, me. Be drinking more yet. Okay, that's my language. It's kind of a pig Latin and everything else in there, but I'm going to preach in English today if that's okay. Hey, let me give you 2 prayer requests. One is for my wife. Her mother, we had brought her in with us about a year ago, maybe 8 months. She's 91 years old, dealing with health issues and stuff, and we elected to keep her in our home, and so pray for her. She's really struggling. And then the pastor that we ordained last year in Cairns, Australia. I'm an Aussie as well as a Yank, and there at Bethany Baptist Church. And his wife, 32 years of age, is going through the second round of cancer in 14 months. Of all places, mastitizing in her hip, and they're getting ready to take the leg off at the hip. So pray for them. I have meetings booked. I'll be over there in April and May and June. I go over there and serve and come back and forth. And so my new position gives me that. And I just want to let you know, pray for her. Her name is Lauren Drews. Her husband's name is Pastor Cam Drews. He was in the youth group when I was there starting it. And God has blessed that ministry. So we're glad you're here. Now, I want to make sure you can hear me. I wear hearing aids. Anybody else wear hearing aids in here? Okay, I don't have mine today, so I can't hear me. So if I sound good, let me know afterward, all right. An older couple was heading up the road, I think up in, is it Route 83? It goes north and south, is that what happened? And he's leaving this state, going up to, I don't know, Pennsylvania somewhere to see the grandkids. He's in a Cadillac, and he got that thing going 70, 75, 80. And his wife's in there with him. They've been married about 50 years, and she can't hear worth a lick, you know, and going up that road, and they're talking about the grandkids. He's excited to be seeing them, and man, highway patrolman come up behind him, turned the lights on. He pulled that big old Cadillac over. The policeman walked up and stood beside the car and knocked on the window. Roll your window down. He said, "Sir, do you realize you were speeding?" "Well, duh, why'd you pull me over?" You know, you kind of thing. And she goes, "What'd he say?" "He wanted to know if I was speeding." He said, "Sir, I wasn't paying attention." "Well, give me your driver's license. Could you give me that, please?" "What'd he say?" "Honey," he said, "he wants to see my driver's license." And he handed him the driver's license. He looked at him and said, he was from Maryland. And that policeman said, "You know, I used to live in Maryland." "What'd he say?" "He said he used to live in Maryland." And he said, "I used to be married to the meanest, hard-headedest woman ever." And she said, "What'd he say?" Her husband said, "He thinks he knows you." So Brother Norris and I have known each other, and good friends with my passed away was alive, Brother Bobby Robertson, and we're all been friends for years. And what I want to do today is this. At your age and mine, and we got a few young ones in here, but you're at the place in your life where you do influence people. And you never lose that value. We live in a society here where you lose value when you turn 45. In the Asian culture I've lived for the last, since 1995, back and forth, the older you get, the more value you have. Wisdom. You know, how many folks remember when you were young and dumb? I'm not talking about last year. I'm talking when you had all the answers at 21. Oh, my goodness. And then you thought you had some of it under wraps at 31. Then at 41, you realized what you didn't know. And then you started learning the best you could. Don't ever understand this thought. Don't ever lose value. Here and here. Here's the title. Be the cause. Be the cause. I want you to understand this is a soul-winning church. This is a church of outreach. It's a missions church. It's a church known around the country. And sometimes I've been in churches and I've been preaching long enough that some churches have lost their cause. They've lost their direction. I'm not talking about doctrine. It's just because they lose what's the first and most important thing. So I want you to join me in chapter 10 of the book of Romans. And as you turn there with me, I want us to take a look at our God is great. You know that. And he saved every one of us in here if you're saved. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not worrying about your sins. I'm worrying about mine. I've never killed anybody. I don't think. I guess that's about it. How many of you folks have lied, stole, and cheated before you were saved? How many's lost your temper afterward? You have kids, you'll lose your temper. All right? So what I want to preach about today is this. Be the cause in your clan and your family and your people to make a difference. I also titled this message, The Sound of Missions. But we're going to look at the thought, be the cause. Look at chapter 10, verse 13. It says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have ye not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went unto all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world." Be the cause. You know, we, in the 70s and the 80s, the Independent Baptist movement was on fire. I mean, bus ministries, soul winning, things like that. And something happened in the 90s. I don't know what it was. things changed a little bit and people fell asleep. Some churches never did fall asleep like this one. They've stayed at it from then till now. Amen. And they're going to stay at it. And I've watched across this country this last year when I've been in the States preaching. I've been in four churches. I've been in about 35 churches. But I've been in four churches that have doubled their attendance in the last 12 months. And they weren't 1 in 10 when they started. I've been in 12 other churches that have grown by 60 people per Sunday. And about half the churches are growing. I've been in some that's going the other way. And I always encourage them, don't lose the calls that God put in your heart. Amen. And mine. And I want you to understand, the world is an unlovely place. Now, I'm not saying you're ugly. But I'm saying this world's an ugly place. You know, and just watch, you know, and I hate watching that news sometimes because it just gets uglier and uglier and uglier. Don't you know, isn't it great to know that you have Christ in your heart? Amen. And you need to be the cause to solidify that in your families and your loved ones and your children and your grandchildren. You look at our culture today, good is bad and bad is good. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He loves the unlovely. He loves the ugly. He loves those ones that on the other side against everything that you stand for. And I think we need to be the cause to get them to Jesus. And we use missions. We use different things. And I want you to understand, I read an article in 2020. I'm preaching in Omaha, Nebraska. They kicked us out of New Guinea because of the pandemic, because I was an American. They didn't want me to die on them. And Australian citizen too, when they got there as an Aussie, you had to make a decision to stay in the States or stay there. But they was going to keep us in hotel rooms for that first week was 28 days. They didn't know what this thing was. You didn't either, amen. I'm just saying, what in the world's going on? So I had to make a decision. And that decision was, well, I'm going to come home. So I reported to some churches that were having services, and West Omaha Baptist Church, Pastor Doug Robertson took me to a place where he worked. He was the pastor of the church, about 80 people, had a job, and he took me up on a Saturday afternoon to the 8th floor in a office complex in Omaha, Nebraska, and we walked into a room, and it was a dining room like this, and it was like 3 stories high, and it was had all these sayings on the wall. When I turned around, the door I came under, and it was big as that wall right there, it said, be the cause. Under that had 10 things that you need to do as an employee of that company. Be the cause that we do the right thing. Be the cause we treat people right. Be the cause of loyalty. Be the cause. And I began to dwell on that and look at that, and I developed a message on it, and I want you to understand, you are a church that participates. And you're a mature group of people that are much wiser than the teenagers across the way. I'm not down on them, and I'm not complaining. I'm just explaining. You've got a lot more going on. Amen. They, like you and I, they live from potato chip to potato chip or pizza to pizza. And they don't plan anything ahead. They're reactionary. All right? Now, I want you to understand this. I want to be an individual, a person in the church, to be the cause. Now watch this. To get the gospel around the world. I've got 3 simple questions today. I hope to answer them by 10:30. Are you ready? Number 1 in our text here, do you believe and do I believe in the power of the gospel? Amen. What does it say in verse 13? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, my mom, just a little background, she got saved at a Billy Graham crusade in Pittsburgh in 43, one of his first ones. I got born in 52. There's 2 of us. I'm a twin, you know, and my twin's in heaven. But when she had my twin and I, she started going to church more and more and more. And her and her 3 sisters would have a Sunday school class in our barn back there in the southern part of Ohio. There'd be about 40 of us in there. Dad found an empty Methodist church. If he paid the back taxes for it, he owned the church. And he did that, and he gave it to her. It's about the size of this room right here. And every Sunday morning for 7 years, her and her three sisters had a Sunday school class. They averaged about 86, 87 of us. They wouldn't preach, but they would teach. Sometimes she would preach. Or she called it treaching. We finally got a pastor after 7 years. But I was unsaved. I asked this question, do you believe in the power of the gospel? My mom believed that. You know, as a missionary, you deputized me over 20 years ago to represent you in Papua New Guinea and Australia. Also through the U.S. now, I do a lot of preaching and teaching. But I want you to understand one thing. Being deputized is I honestly work for you. I'm a subcontractor for you. And what here in the gospel is that everybody that you witness to will not get saved. But what does it say in verse 13? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Now let me lay this out for you. How many of you folks got saved the very first time you heard the gospel? Okay, a couple of us, three, four of us, okay. How many got saved after somebody invited you to church, prayed over you, and stayed after you, or is a relative to you? Could you raise your hand? All right. Now, you're a product of people doing the cause. And I want you to understand here, Paul has written out to us, and Paul's a great example of it. But my mother knew I wasn't saved, and I wasn't listening to her, typical teenager. There's a guy that was a friend of ours named Jim Beaver. He owned a gas station about 20 miles from our house. And Mom called him and said, listen, I want you to fix a tire on our tractor. I'm going to send Danny, that's me, over with the pickup truck. He just turned 16. And he is not listening to me about the gospel. Now, I'm going to bake for you a blueberry pie. And I'll pay you $5 to fix that tire. And she said, now don't do too much, Brother Jim, because I'm going to let the air out of the tire. It don't have a thing wrong with it. And I'm not going to tell Dan, but you work that thing and you witness to him. He's got to sit there and listen to you. So Mom said, hey, there's a flat on the tractor. I had to take it off that front right-hand side. Had a Ford 2000. Put that in the back of the old pickup truck and drove over to Jim's gas station. And he got out and started working that tire. And I said, here, Mom, I don't want you to give you a pie, but here, you know. And he started changing that tire. 45 minutes, put air back in that thing. Preached to me the whole time. He looked at me and said, hey, would you like to ask Jesus in your heart today? No, I'm not ready yet. I've got my life to live. If I get saved, that means I got to give up that lying, stealing, cheating, sneaking around stuff. Hey, man, how many's ever heard that from relatives? Or, you know, if I get saved, I got to give all this up. Yeah. That's their world. Just go right by that. Hey, you're going to lose all that someday. How do you know that? Well, whosoever's name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life shall be cast where? The lake of fire. Amen. So you want to get your name in that. How do you get your name in that book? That's what Jim Beaver, he's witnessing to me. He said, Brother Dan, you want your name in that book? I said, no, not today. Here's the pie. Here's the money. Got to go. I went back home, put the tire on the tractor. I didn't think anything of it. And 3 weeks from that date, our camp started. We had a camp where Hal Webb would come preach and Thurman Babcock. I don't know if you've ever heard those guys. And he was coming to our camp. And so... my question is this, do you believe in the power of the gospel when you plant that seed and you pray for that, God will go to work? There's no age limit on this. I wrote down a second question. Do you believe that everyone needs to hear the gospel? Look what it says in verse 14. And then who then shall they call on him whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? My wife and I are flying out of Australia with our youngest son. He's about 11 years old. And I just had kidney stones taken out of me down in Australia. We couldn't do it in New Guinea, and I was getting jaundice, and things were backing up. And how many's ever had a kidney stone in here? It'll light you up. All right, first one, you think you're dying of a heart attack, you know, and I'm laying on the ground. My wife thought I was having a heart attack, so did I. And she leaned over me and said one of the sweetest things ever in our marriage. She said, "I love you, honey. I love you, too. I think I'm dying." She said, "I just want to ask you a question. Like, do you love me?" "No. Is the life insurance paid up?" So, gentlemen, better make sure it's paid up, all right? Now, watch this. Do you believe that everybody needs to hear the gospel? And everyone's going to say yes to that. And you know, medical missions is all right, and you know, and digging wells is okay. But you know, when I see the Macedonian call and all through the New Testament there, it was to preach the gospel. And then all that stuff comes later. Where Jesus is preached, people get saved. You need to focus on this thought. People need to hear the gospel. When you called me to when you supported me with other churches, and God called me to New Guinea, when I went there, I didn't know the language. I didn't know the people. They live one day at a time. They don't know what it means to plan ahead. Amen. They live from meal to meal. They're kind people. They'll steal clothes off your clothesline, and they see you don't get a jacket, or they'll give you back to you because they want you to have one. I mean, they're just that type of people. When we went over there, and God began to work on our hearts, and I was preaching the gospel, and people are getting saved, and then one lady said, "I don't want what you have." And she had her friend with her, and her friend said, "Well, I want it." And the one girl got saved, and the one did not. And that was on Christmas of 2001. On Valentine's Day, 2002, there was a murder across the road from my house. And it was that little girl that said, "No, I do not want the gospel." I was preaching at another church, and they called me to come back, and the body was wrapped up in a piece of plastic. The police are standing there. They thought I would know her from the church, and I did. And they had a note on her with her that said, "You know, you bury her. She used to go to church here. She'll not be messing with any more families." I don't know what happened, but that girl, 90 days before, about 85 days before she was slain, I give her the gospel on three times. And she said no all three times. You know, if she had said yes, she would be in heaven today. Now, you believe that everyone needs to hear the gospel. And it bothers us when they don't get saved. You know, I went to Australia, and I was there one day. We rented a house. We moved into it. A guy came over the next day, knocked on my door. He just had a pair of swimming trunks on. And he was in... this was 9 in the morning, and he was drunk. And he was my neighbor. And same Bible that I had there. This is the same Bible. And I told Sandy, "You get in there and get 00 dialed." I didn't know who he was. His body's full of pornography. And he stands at my door, and I said, "You stay back." I said, "Now, well, I don't know who you are, my friend." He said, "I'm your neighbor, mate." I said, "Well, I don't know you. You're drunk. You cannot talk to me with that pornography on your body. I'm a preacher." He said, "Oh, no. You go put some clothes on." And my wife had 00. That's like 911. Three zeros gets the police, so she's ready. And he went back over. John's his name. Jonathan Edwards. He came back. Sandy put a pot of coffee on. And he'd sit there and he'd let me witness to him. He'd come over for some sugar. I gave him the gospel. He did not get saved. Been in jail, reformatory. He's a chef on one of the battleships for the Australian Army. I didn't realize it, but I moved right into a suburb. God is doing this. Full of soldiers and Navy personnel. They don't live on barracks. They live in suburbs. And he did not get saved, and I invited him to church. He come to church the next Sunday. He's married to a Canadian. She'd never been in a church service. Good night. Their kids were wild as foxes. I mean, they had a 3-year-old and 1-year-old. Never been disciplined. And he heard that gospel about three weeks in. He said, "Can you come see me at the house?" I walked over. I led that old boy to Christ on his couch. Yeah. In 6 months, seven different men and their wives were led to Christ on his couch and in discipleship. Now, they were lost, and I believe they needed to hear the gospel. It was so bad, I didn't realize it. Them guys were all married. They all got kids, and then they come to see me one Saturday afternoon and said, "Preacher, we got to confess something to you. We're all married to our wives, but we're not." Say, what? Oh, yeah, they do it in America now. Just move in with each other. And that woman gets twice the welfare money. If she was married, she'd lose that, say. Well, I'm young and dumb. I didn't know that stuff. So I said, "We're all going to have a wedding this next Sunday." And we got them all down. They'd been in discipleship. I did not know this was going on. And we married six families one Sunday morning. Biggest crowd we ever had. Amen. And their parents were in shock. Their parents weren't saved. They was asking, "Where's the liquor?" No, we don't do that. Do you believe the world needs to hear the gospel?
Amen.
Here's what happens. He goes through people like you and me, and you need to be the cause to get the gospel there. Let me give you the third question. That is this. Do you believe that God wants to enable others to go give the gospel? Look at verse 15. "And how shall they preach except they be sent?" My friend, God sends those missionaries. God sends the church planters. It's written, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel." You know, I did not get saved when Mom commissioned or deputized Jim Beaver. But 3 weeks went by, and I went to that camp. And on Wednesday night, he preached a message, "The Russians are coming, the Russians are coming." God had sent Thurman Howell Webb to come there and preach that revival service. God put me in that service. About 300 public school kids sitting there. And he preached the gospel that night. And the glad tidings of good things. If you get saved, you're going to go to heaven. And he explained that. And I am listening to it. And what Jim Beaver told me, if I don't get saved, my name's not going to be written in Lamb's Book of Life. And the Holy Spirit went to work, got a hold of my heart. And myself, my twin brother, there were seven of us in this one cabin. Six of us trusted Christ as our Savior that night. We all were baptized 3 weeks later on a farm in a creek on the southern part of Ohio. Five of the six became pastors and missionaries around this world somewhere. Now, my mom started the thing because she believed in the power of the gospel. And she believed everybody needed to hear it, and it had to start with her. Do you believe that God enables, God calls? You know, Acts 1:8, and I'll talk about it tonight, that they shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part. That word "both" means while. You have your witnessing here as a church. You have your ministry here. You have the ministry with your family. You have your ministry all over this world in missions. And I want you to understand that God blesses this. And I want you to catch this one thought. Except they be sent, in verse 15. God sends them. The church is the vehicle that God uses. And may we be the cause, may we be the cause that people trust Christ as their personal Savior. No reserves, no retreats, no regrets. He was a multimillionaire son. His name was Bill Borden. And the dairy company is still in business in the Midwest. Elsie the cow used to be on the side of their truck. She'll pass one every once in a while. When he was turning 17, his dad wanted him to go to college, Princeton or Hartford, one of those two, to learn the business and take it over, multimillionaire. But for his senior trip, graduating from high school, his dad had hired two Moody Bible Institute preacher boys to be his escort around the world. And, you know, he talked about God at work. And those two preacher boys, he hired them, and they took him, and they went to every mission compound they could find between, you know, Chicago, Illinois, and China. And God got a hold of William Borden's heart. Now, he went to Yale or Princeton. He graduated at the top of the class, gave over $100,000 to a street ministry the 4 years he was there. His dad wanted him to take the company, and he made this statement to his dad. He said, "Dad, I have no reservations. I got to do what God puts in my heart. It's a no." Whoa. And then when he was done with the college, he's going to go be up in the mountains in the part of China. He had to learn a Mongolian language. And there was a Mongolian language teacher in Egypt, so he's going to go spend 6 months to a year with him. So he got over there, took the boat, just like 1912, and he got there, and he was there 4 or 5 weeks, and then the Black Plague, the plague, came in on that area. Mm-hmm. That older missionary got sick. William Morton took care of him. He died, and he buried him. 2 or 3 days later, he got sick. And in the back fly leaf of his Bible, he wrote a second term, thought, no retreats. He dated the first one. Took place in Chicago, Illinois. He dated the second one. Took place there. I'm not going to retreat on what God has called me to do. His mom and sister in Europe found out he was sick. They got on the train going down to get to him with some medicine. He died 2 days before they got there. They were packing his belongings up, getting the body prepared to take it back to Europe, to bring it back to the States. And his sister opened up the Bible, and the last thing that was written in that Bible below no reserves, no retreats, was the thought, no regrets. What could have, should have, would have been if I would just... I am sure glad my mom witnessed to me. I'm sure glad my mom hired, deputized, blueberry pie and $5. Pretty good investment, huh? I saw Jim Beaver 6 years ago before he died in a nursing home, 96 years of age. I walked in. He didn't know me with a bald head. I said, you remember leading a little boy to Christ at the camp back in August 15th, 1969? You're drinking a cup of coffee. Big lightning storm, thunderstorm took place. Little guy came over there shaking, said he needed to get saved. He remembered. He said, blueberry pie. Now you listen to this thought. What you do as a witness and a testimony, do not have any regrets about witnessing to your family, witnessing in your ministry. Where there is no reserves, there will be no retreats. And where there's no retreats, there will be no regrets. You don't know the end of the story, but God does. You answered your questions today. Do you believe in the power of the gospel? And that's a yes. You have no reservation about that. Do you believe that everyone needs to hear the gospel? They must hear it. Don't ever retreat on that thought. That will drive you to be a witness. I'm not a great soul winner. Okay, let's be honest. I'm not a good soul winner. How about you? Well, I win 100 to Christ every week. How about 1 to Christ a year? You'll get 1 person saved per year would change this whole community. Just 1. 1 person lead 1. But here's my last thought. Do you believe that God wants to enable others to go? Can I encourage you, and you'll find this out tonight, you need to pray for your missionaries. Yes, yes, yes. You need to pray for your family. You need to pray for your pastor. Not only that, you need to have a special time every week in your prayer time to be the cause, to be a witness. You know, if I could bring it across to you, being a cause is you don't see the end of the thing, but you can get it started. Amen. I preached this message in West Virginia about a year ago. There was a storm. I'm preaching at Fellowship Baptist Church. The lady is about 60 years of age, maybe 50 years of age. Her husband see me after the message and said, can we get you a blueberry pie to go witness to my daddy? My mom died at Christmas. My dad is unsaved. He smokes like a freight train. But I think he'll let you in the house. You take him this blueberry pie. And she made him one. His daughter did. So I drove through a snowstorm, went up this mountain, and knocked on Jay Shoemate's door. I walked inside there. And he said, come in, man. I'm telling you, I thought I was in a Walmart warehouse from 1960. Packed to the ceiling. I'd never seen a hoarder. His wife died Christmas Day, and he let me in. He had 9 cats with him. I don't like cats. Can I hear an amen there? If you're a cat person, God bless you. I went with dogs. I'm a Snoopy guy. But anyway, I went in there, and I gave him the plan of salvation. He was crying. I said, your daughter sent me. She has deputized me with a blueberry pie, and I just told him this story. He looked at me, well, that's good, in my face, and said, not today. I get in my car and drove down that mountain. No reserves, no retreats, no regrets. DeLong, do you believe they need to hear the gospel? DeLong, do you believe in the power of the gospel? DeLong, do you believe people need to be sent, as it says, to give the gospel out? Man, I prayed for that guy, and his daughter called me and her husband, and I said, no, he didn't get saved, and you know, blue smoke in my face. I got cat hair all over me. I don't know if it's worth it or not. She started crying on the phone. And her preacher said, we want you to come back doing revival. I hadn't planned it. A church had canceled because of a situation in the church. So I had that week open, so I went. She's there with two blueberry pies. Now I'm there for the whole week. And she looked at me and said, please, would you reconsider going to my dad? Yes, I will. Man, we set the trap. No reserves. She says, I'll be there Saturday morning cleaning the mess up. My husband will be with me. We'll be praying as you talk to him. And, sir, no matter what happens, are you going to come? I'll be there. No retreats. Drove up that mountain in the snow again. Been about a year. Went into his house. He's sitting there. She's giving him one of those egg sandwiches that you buy at the store. And cats are eating it. And he's just feeding them. And I said, can you stop feeding the cats for a minute? I drove back up here just for you today. Because I don't want you to go to hell. And that daughter loves you with all her heart. You know that old boy listened to me differently? And he trusted Christ as his Savior. His daughter wanted to baptize him right there. I said, I don't think snow and ice will work. It might, I don't know. Jay Shoemate trusted Christ as his personal Savior the second time, the second round. Don't retreat. And at the end of the thing, there'll be no regrets. See, be the cause that someone gets saved today, this month, this year, for the ministry of this church. All God's people said?
Amen. Are you thankful for that message this morning? I think that's what we needed. As we're looking at bringing a friend for Sunday on March the 30th, you know what? Our desire should be to bring a friend every Sunday. Bring somebody to come and know Jesus every week. This past week, Phyllis Smith, she's not here right now. She's with her daughter-in-law, and she's picking up somebody at the airport this morning from the family coming in. And she had asked me to go by and see her daughter-in-law on Thursday night. Daughter-in-law's real discouraged. She's got cancer. It's terminal. I was there. I got there a little bit, just right about 7 o'clock Thursday night. Went in, and her mom was there with her. And this poor girl, bless her heart, she was so sick. And she was just sick. And I had an opportunity to talk to the mom, and the mom just didn't understand why her daughter was going through all this. And said she's just lost all hope. Lost all hope. Mad at God, her family's mad at God for all this stuff happening. And I told her, I said, well, you know, it may be for such a time as this that God is trying to show you your need for the Lord and how much each of us need Him. Each of us are terminal. Every one of us are terminal. We don't know when this last day on earth is going to be. We're all terminal. I didn't leave there until about 9:15. Thursday night from the hospital. Had prayer with the mom, and she thanked me for coming, and it encouraged her heart. And I talked to the girl there in the hospital bed, and I told her, I said, please, don't be mad at God. Don't be upset with God. God loves you. And I said, we love you. I said, Phyllis loves you. And she wants to make sure that you know that you're going to heaven. She wants to make sure that you know that when that day does come, that she's going to get to be able to see you again in heaven. And I asked her, I said, has there been a time in your life when you trusted Christ Jesus as your Savior? When you put your faith and trust in Him? And she said, well, I've done that. I said, really? When did you do that? And she said, when Phyllis came and gave me the gospel. I listened to what she said, and I trusted Him as my Savior. And I said, then you know today that if anything happens, you're going to be with Him in heaven. She said, yes, I know that. I've just been discouraged. I called Phyllis that night as I was driving home. It was going on 9:30. Phyllis began to cry. And you know what? What made the difference was that the seed that she had planted took root. And that young girl accepted Christ as her Savior. She couldn't remember the day, but she remembered who it was that came and gave her the gospel. And folks, we try to give out gospel tracts. We try to do everything we can do to reach people with the gospel around here. Folks look at us and say, oh, you're just a big church with lots of money. No, we're not. But we've got a big God that supplies all the needs. And they say, well, how did your church get so big? I said, our church hasn't focused on getting big. Our church hasn't focused on having a great big ministry. That's the results of doing what God said do and going out into the community and telling folks about Christ. And God brings forth the increase. And folks, many of you have given out gospel tracts. And many of you have gone out and you've told loved ones that you don't want to see them die and go to hell. I think about Brother Lures last week. 60-some years he and Kitty had been married, and he had rejected Christ. 90 years old and realized he was dying. And he told Kitty, he said, get one of the preachers to come by here. Pastor Holbrook went by there on Sunday afternoon. He died about 1:30 Monday morning. But he trusted Christ that afternoon. And as I spoke at that funeral service, I reminded them, none of us knows when we're going to die. There's a day appointed. Each hour is to be born. There's a day to die. And folks, we don't know. Our family, our loved ones. I think about Brother Bob Emler. Good night. He went in to have two stents put in this Friday, and they couldn't do it. And he's got two blockages that are 100%. Another blockage is at least 90%. And they're scheduling him for a four-way bypass surgery sometime this week up in Harrisburg. We don't ever know where our last day on this earth is going to be. And that's why it's important that we do the job that God has saved us to do while we can do it. Let's do it today. Hey, listen, let's don't wait till the 30th to bring a friend. Let's do it today. Let's go out and tell somebody today. Go to the track rack and get you some gospel tracts. Load up with some ammunition and go and love somebody to Christ today. And let them know that God loves them. Brother DeLong, thank you for being here today.
Yes.
We look forward to hearing from you tonight. Thank you for coming. It's good to see Brother Bud back with us and his knee surgery. And I'm glad he's here today. But let's thank the Lord for what he's done for us. Let's pray, and we'll be dismissed. Father, Lord, I love you today, and I thank you, God, for this opportunity we have to come on Time Change Sunday. These folks made effort, God, to be here on time, and the class is basically pretty full today. Lord, we thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, for the message that we've been able to hear and how it has spoken to our hearts this morning. Please now, Lord, help us, God, to be willing to go and take that message to everyone, to anyone that we possibly can, before it's eternally too late. Help us, dear God, to have no regrets about doing your work for you and telling others about Christ. Bless our pastor now, Lord, as he stands to preach this morning. And Father, we'll thank you for what you do. We love you. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. We love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday school. Yeah.